Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's talk with an old friend, Herbie.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
So over the last few years, on the nighttime show, I kind of fostered a relationship with the folks down at ISU where I'd have Brock's back on. We talk because ISU is always in the FCS playoffs. I mean, they've gone to the national championship game under SPAC. I mean, they keep going to the postseason. So we were like, man, that's a cool story. Maybe not a lot of people know about it. And so we've built this relationship. I've even gone down there to see a game, and I've had a great time. And he keeps putting guys in the pros, and one of those guys that Brock SPAC has put into the pros is now on the Bears. Trey Roberson was a quarterback at Indiana, and then he was a quarterback at ISU. Then he got drafted. He signed with Minnesota, made that roster, and then got cut. And he's been in the CFL the last couple of years. He was the highest ranked free agent to come out of the CFL and signed a 2-year contract with the Bears to play corner. So I wanted to get a scouting report on him as a corner. So I thought we'd reach out to the head coach of the ISU Redbirds, Brock SPAC, who joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Coach, how are you?
Lawrence, great hearing your voice. I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited for Trey that he's getting this opportunity. Have you talked to him since he signed with the Bears?
I have not, but I'm really excited about it. You know, I always told him, as you know, but some people may not, I was a defensive coordinator a long time in the Big Ten, and that's where I played and cut my teeth in coaching. So I said, Trey, if you were at Purdue when I was at Purdue, we would have stolen you from the offense and you'd be playing corner for me. So he's built like an SEC corner. He can really run or a big-time corner. He's athletic, and he has a great arm. He can throw the ball deep, but sometimes the short stuff wasn't his forte, but he can run. So he has a lot of athleticism, and I was not shocked to hear that he was moved to corner with Minnesota and hung on there for a year. And then, you know, I had to learn the position, and he went up to Kent and did very well. And I think he was up for the Defensive Player of the Year award. I think he was a Rookie of the Year the year before. So he's done very well up there. So I'm really, you know, I'm a Bears fan, and I have some friends in the organization, and I'm very excited to see what he does. I think he's going to be very good for the Bears.
How hard is it to convince a player that has spent their life playing offense that they might have a future if they want to switch over and play defense?
That's really hard to do because Trey was really a good quarterback. You know, he took us to the national championship game here, and he was an excellent player. Like I said, he could throw a deep ball as good or better than anybody I've been around. He was very accurate, and he could really run. He gave you a different dimension on, you know, quarterback. And but he had such good, he's such a good athlete, and he's built like a big time corner. And he's tough, and you know, loves football. And it's hard to find guys who want to play defensive back that have that kind of ability, you know, to play in the National Football League. I've had a couple guys that've done it, and it's hard to find them. They're hard breed to find because you got to have some length and obviously speed and change of direction and all that stuff. And you got to be smart because there's a lot of things they do coverage wise now. It takes the brain to learn all that stuff. So, and to do it as short time as he has, it's kind of really amazing. Just tells you how good an athlete he is. So I'm excited for him, and you know, hope he does well. Most important thing for everybody and is that he stays healthy.
What is the benefit from a guy that's playing on a field that's much wider in Canada? Like, what are some of the things that if you're breaking down the tape and trying to figure out, does a guy translate from the CFL to the NFL, that you can learn on him having to cover folks on a wider field?
Well, he's got more space. You know, anytime you're playing a secondary, you're playing a lot of space, and that takes a lot of lot of speed and quickness to do that. So I think that's probably one good thing they were able to see off tape. Obviously, you're playing against the best players in the world and the NFL, so it's going to be hard to, you know, can he cover somebody at that level? I'm sure he can, but I think, you know, you see him covering, there's some very good players in the CFL as well, and he's able to, you know, play in a lot of space, and I think it's a passing game, you know, and the corners are kind of in they're on the island, so to speak, and they're out there playing their own game. So you have to be able to cover and play a lot of defend a lot of space, a lot of grass. So if you can do that, I think in that league, you know, I think you have a chance to do it, you know, down here in the States.
Talking to ISU head coach Brock Spack here on The Score. We're talking to him because he coached Trey Roberson, who's the new Bears cornerback. The Bears signed him to a two-year deal last week they signed him to a two-year deal. What was he like to coach?
He was a joy. He loved football. He's a competitive guy. He was tough. You know, he broke his thumb on his throwing hand his senior year. We tried to keep it as quiet as we could, but he missed a game or two, and I think he missed a game and a half, and it was hard to keep him out of the lineup. But, you know, no most guys in this 4 or 5 weeks, and he was back very, very, very quickly and threw the ball fairly well for a guy who had a broken thumb on his throwing hand. He's just a tough competitor and loves to compete. You know, he's a guy who loves to compete and has a high athletic IQ, I'd say. You know, he's a guy that gets – he sees the field. That's probably the best transition from playing offense and being a quarterback to now playing in the secondary. You got to be able to see the field, and he's able to do that. And I'm sure he can anticipate routes and, you know, when a route's going to be broken and, you know, anticipate a quarterback, you know, what he's thinking because he played the position. So I think that helps him a little bit, you know. I don't think it was very hard. I was really surprised at how – because I heard he was going to Canada. I said, you're going to go play quarterback, right? Because I told him, Trey, if you want to play quarterback professionally, I think you have to go up to Canada. And he said, no, I want to try this defensive thing. And when he got the contract to go to Canada, I said, Coach, Trey, you're going up to play quarterback, huh? And he goes, no, I'm staying on defense. I love this defensive thing. So I was kind of surprised to hear that. His career has taken off because he's such a good athlete. So
yeah, I mean, a lot of times when you're talking about guys who play quarterback, they don't want to get hit, and now you're talking about making a transition to being a guy who's going to have to do some hitting.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think Trey's a tough kid, and you know, we ran him quite a bit here. You know, he ran with the football, so he can take a shot, and he can make people miss, and that's kind of what you do as a corner. You have to kind of make blockers miss sometimes, and you have to have a great change of direction to tackle with that much space. You know, as we talked about earlier, you know, that's the key. You got to have athleticism to tackle in space. And when you're in the secondary, you're the last line of defense, so you have to get people on the ground. And I'd assume, you know, I haven't seen him play a lot, but I've seen him play, you know, a few times in the summer on ESPN when they're playing in the Canadian League games. He looks like he can get some people on the ground. So, and because he's such a good athlete, it doesn't surprise me. But he's not afraid of contact. You know, we ran him quite a bit with a football in his hand and here. And he, like I said, he was tough. He fought through an injury here that would have sidelined a guy, normal person, at least probably a month. So he was able to, you know, fight through that. And that's what you have to do in the National Football League. So I think he's, you know, been prepared for that.
For you, when you have players, and this isn't the first time one of your quarterbacks has made it to the Bears, when you get players that make it to the NFL, what do you feel like that says about you and the program that you've put together down in Bloomington Normal?
Well, first of all, it says a lot about the player. You know, he's worked awful hard, and he's very talented, and he's listened. But yeah, I learned under a Hall of Fame football coach, in my opinion, in Coach Tiller, when he was at University of Wyoming at Purdue. We were a developmental program at those places, and we worked really hard at developing, you know, players there. And you know, we're fortunate to have Jim Lathrop here, who is our strength coach at Purdue, is our strength coach here, and we have a great strength program here, and that's what we're starting now. We're starting our morning workouts here, and we're in the off season. We're lifting really hard, but it says a lot. You know, I think it. You know, I think our practices, the way we practice, I think is maybe the key to how we, you know, develop our players. And, and how we you know, in training camp, how we try to, you know, there's a fine line now with contact now, and not just any level of football. You're trying to make the game safer, but yet you got to get enough work in to make sure your players can play when the bullets are live, so to speak. So I think the way we practice is good, and we're able to and we have you know, our program's built on mental and physical toughness here and accountability, and so I think a kid when he comes out of here, I think NFL people know that you're going to get a guy hopefully that can make your team and will compete and will listen and do what he's told, because if you don't do that here, you won't play and you probably won't make it. So I think from that standpoint, I'm really proud of our program here and even all the kids I had at Purdue that went on playing in the NFL. Was fun. So
yeah, and that league you play in is a meat grinder too. So
oh, it's brutal. I'm telling you, it's brutal. It is by far the most balanced league from top to bottom I've ever coached in, and I love the Big Ten now. Don't get me wrong, the Big Ten's a great league, and I still have great friends in that league and coach great players and really enjoyed my time there. But from a competitive standpoint, I mean, this Missouri Valley Conference is no joke now. They kind of call ourselves the SEC FCS football, and it's probably very, very true. We're very good, and you have to be ready to play every Saturday, or else you're going to get beat in this conference. So,
well, it's Coach, fun. Congratulations on getting another player back into the NFL, and I'm looking forward to see what Trey does with the Bears. And I when I saw it, I was like, man, like that's a guy. You're right. He's got the size. He's got some athleticism. I imagine they'll probably find him a spot on special teams too to let that athleticism flourish. I'm really happy for you, because I think this is a real. It's a flashpoint, and it tells people that you're getting stuff done down there and your guys are moving on to the next level. So congratulations on that, and hopefully we'll get you up here for one of the games.
Well, Lawrence, thank you for that. But I'll probably come up and watch Trey and OTAs and go visit some friends up at the Bears and watch him practice a little bit, and maybe even during training camp. So now I got a guy there. I'll be happy to go in there and do that. So really, I'm a big Bears fan for my whole life, and it's always thrilled to get a kid in the roster. So hope this guy does well for y'all, and I think he will. He's got to stay healthy. That's the key in the sport of football.
All right, well, great. Well, then when you come up for OTAs, come hang out in the studio.
I'd love to. Well, thanks for having me on, my man. It's great hearing your voice, and we got to get you down here for another game.
Yeah, I promise. I will be down to Bloomington Normal next year and watch a game up close.
You know, we'll take care of you.
My man, that's Brock Spack, the head coach of the Illinois State Redbirds. See, Herbie, we get to do some of the fun stuff that we did at night during the day. Get to introduce people to a Brock Spack.
Looks just like Ron Swanson.
He does look like Ron Swanson. That's a good comp for him. If Ron Swanson were a football coach, it would be Brock Spack. Good for him and good for Trey. I'm really excited. Like that, like the whole story of it, I was out of school and I was playing quarterback, and then I went down to a lower level and played quarterback there. We went to the national championship game. We kept running into North Dakota State, so we lost. Then they tell me, well, you're not playing quarterback anymore. You got good feet. You're going to play corner. Okay. He makes it onto the Vikings. He sticks around for a little bit, then gets cut. Then goes home and is like, do I still want to play football? Because I got this, my wife and I just had a baby, and I need to go out and work and make money. So he's driving a truck. Then he goes to the CFL and completely embraces the idea of playing defense, plays well there for 2 years, and now he finds himself on the Bears. It's a great story, and I hope that it works out. They could use some depth there. They could use some depth on special teams. So congratulations to Trey Roberson, and thanks to Brock Spack for joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, things we think we know about the NFL. That's coming up next. Here.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On the score.
It's time for What Do You Think You Know?
Yeah, we do this every week during the NFL season. We talk about things that we think we know. And then we go around the room, myself, Herb Lawrence, Rick Camp, a.k.a. White Chocolate, a.k.a. Campy, a.k.a. Rick Damn Camp. All right, I'm going to start off. If you were wondering, well, wait, why was J-Lo and Shakira the halftime show? Well, it was because it gives them an opportunity to reach out to an audience that they're trying to grow. The NFL clearly, by everything that you saw in the pregame, what you saw, who was singing the national anthem, the halftime show, and the participants in the halftime show, they're clearly reaching out to a Latinx audience. Here is some of the background on that. This is courtesy of the Sun-Times. The NFL has significantly increased its advertising aimed at the 52 million Hispanics in the United States. Forbes reported a 60% increase in the NFL ad budget from 2010 through 2015 to $243 million. With it being in Miami, with it being a big showy opportunity, you bring in someone who's going to do a big show. And they brought in Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, and they did their thing. It was so Miami. But it's clear, I think I know, that the NFL is saying there's an opportunity for us to make some more money. Let's bring more people into the tent. And we can do that by having J-Lo and Shakira do the halftime show. And they did it. And I suspect if J-Lo is still relevant 5 years from now, she will be asked back to do the halftime show in some sort. Herbie, what's something that you think you know about the NFL?
Well, on Sunday, Patrick Mahomes became the 13th player to both win a Super Bowl MVP and a AP regular season MVP, not necessarily in the same season, but I won't make you name the other 12, but can you name the three non-quarterback MVPs of both the Super Bowl and the regular season in NFL history?
Lawrence Taylor?
No. He never won it.
Huh.
In the Super Bowl.
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith is one of them. They're all running backs, by the way, so let's go with that.
Wait, can't be good
a
guess?
Do you have a guess? Go ahead. A running back that won the Super Bowl MVP and the AP NFL MVP.
Marshall Faulk.
No.
Damn it.
You're just thinking too much.
Probably.
These guys are still alive. These guys are 80s and 90s.
80s?
That's when they played.
Walter Payton.
I'll give you guys a hint. Walter Payton never won a Super Bowl MVP.
Because they didn't give him the ball.
Because
Dicka wouldn't give him the ball. And they didn't give Walter an opportunity to score a touchdown in the biggest game of his life.
By the way, Terrell Davis, right, Rick Camp. And one more. I'll just give it to you. It's Marcus Allen.
Oh.
But all the rest are quarterbacks. Bart Starr, Bradshaw, Montana. Young, Elway, Warner, Brady, Manning, Rodgers.
So I think I know
all those people are in the Hall of Fame or going to the Hall of Fame after their career ends. I think I know, even after 2 years of just playing, Patrick Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame because he's done something that only Hall of Famers do.
Well, there's that, and you look at his 2018 season, which was kind of historic. On top of that, he's got the bona fides. He needs to do a little bit more work, but he got the two hardest things out of the way pretty early. Here's your Super Bowl. Here's your Super Bowl MVP. Here's your regular season MVP. Got those out of the way. Now he can just roll for a little while. Campy, what's something that you think you know about the NFL?
So I heard on the Mully and Haw show, they had a guy on, yesterday.
It's Thursday, according to my sheet.
Yeah, Thursday, according to your sheet.
It's true.
That the Chiefs are probably going to be in a cap position where they have to let Chris Jones go as a free agent this offseason.
Good player.
And if they want to keep that defense at an acceptable level to be able to win the Super Bowl with how good their offense is, they need to retain Chris Jones. Because when that defense finally took off towards the end of the year was when he came back. I mean, you look, they have not lost a game since he came back. It was week 13. He missed a few games in the middle of the year. From week 13 to the end of the season, the most points they gave up was 24 against Tennessee. It made the defense go from decent enough to legitimately good. And he's a guy you don't think of much because he's an interior lineman, second round pick, not a first round guy. But that is a big time difference maker who had a huge Super Bowl. Even if the stats don't necessarily show it, his impact was there. And they need to keep him. You can't have just Frank Clark on your defensive line.
But they don't they have to pay this offseason for the MVP, Patrick Mahomes, a bunch of money?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to run into some problems, Rick, right there. If I got to make a choice, they're going to choose the quarterback, but I think they can find another guy like Chris Jones, maybe, that can supplant what he brought.
His play on second and five was like the play of the game. You're right, because he backed it up on third and five by pressuring Garoppolo. I agree with you. I think Chris Jones is a good player that doesn't always show up on the stat sheet. His value doesn't always show up there. I think he's good there, but this is what happens. What Kansas City has done is exactly what teams are trying to do. Win while the quarterback is on their rookie contract. But the bonus that they got was he's great. And not just great, maybe the most talented guy that's ever played the position. So they got all of those things, and now they know. They don't have any questions about their quarterback. And they're going to give him all the money because he's earned all the money, and he will be worth the money instead of trying to guess and figure this thing out in year four.
What will you do with the running back that has now scored, what, 9 touchdowns in his playoff games, Damian Williams? Do you say, hey, man, Damian, you've been great, but we're not going to pay you real money like that?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can kind of always find a Damian Williams type. That's the position of running back has been devalued and it's been democratized to a certain degree. So it's a player that you want and he's still young enough to help you, but you can kind of find someone that's similar, that considering the way defenses are going to play against those wide receivers and Mahomes, should be able to make some plays.
Also, look at the Rams and how many cap problems they have now. Partially because they paid Todd Gurley.
And because they paid the quarterback early. Like they gave Jared, was he gonna make $36 million next year? They gave the quarterback money and he hadn't quite earned it yet. But you went to a Super Bowl, so all right. I think I know that Eli Manning is going to the Hall of Fame. And if you look at the comps, I was having this conversation while I was in Miami about the quarterbacks from back in the day that are in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to give you two of them, and I want you to guess some of their numbers, okay? Terry Bradshaw, who's in the Hall of Fame, who has 4 Super Bowl rings, What do you think his completion percentage was?
I think he was like 58%.
Campy?
I was going to say like 53.
51.9% completions for Terry Bradshaw in his career. Now his
with two Hall of Fame wide receivers.
Now his team's won, and his touchdown interception, not great. Touchdown interception, 212 to 210.
But he's a winner.
But he's a winner. And I will say, there a couple of those Super Bowls, he had one of them that was four touchdowns, right? He came up big in Super Bowl games. So another reason why Eli's going to get in. Now I'm going to give you another quarterback. Broadway Joe. Joe Namath.
I already know this one. He's terrible. 48%.
Campy?
I think it's like, isn't it like 47.2?
50.1. Joe Namath's completion percentage for his career was 50.1. His touchdown to interception ratio, 173 to 220.
Is that good?
That's not good. That's not good at all.
Yeah, but those guys will always tell you, he was a winner, though, Lawrence, a winner. When they needed a game, Broadway Joe was there.
But he wasn't a winner, Herbie. His career record, 62, 63, and 4. His numbers line up perfectly with who he was as a quarterback.
Stop with that analytics, Lawrence.
He was under 500 winning percentage, completed just over 50% of his passes, and had more interceptions than touchdowns.
So he was more effective at the pool than he was as a quarterback.
Hey, I'm not saying that Joe Namath wasn't a winner in life, because he was. Or he is. He's still alive.
Hall of Famer, too.
That's what I'm saying. Ugh. Eli Manning's going, and there's no argument against it. You can't hold up these other dudes that went in early on and then see the guy who is seventh most in touchdowns ever in the NFL, had the long streak of starts that he had, won two Super Bowls and made big plays in those Super Bowls to win it, and keep him out, even though he's a 500 quarterback for his career.
I would much rather have Philip Rivers in. If Eli goes in, Philip has to go in.
Well, Philip is I think a better quarterback than Eli, but Eli against one of the greatest teams that's ever been assembled did work. So Eli's going in, and we've discussed this a little bit. He's a Hall of Famer at the bank, folks. Eli Manning has made more money playing football than any other player in the history of the NFL. $252 million.
Woo!
Quarterback money. Meanwhile, what does that get you in MLB free agency? It makes you, what, the third highest this last year? Will you be the third highest guy? Football players hate baseball contracts with a passion. Herbie, what's something that you think you know about the NFL?
What I think I know is while you're wearing that University of Alabama shirt,
roll damn tide.
The Big Ten is coming for the crown.
Shout out to Steve Sanders, by the way. Roll tide.
The retiring Steve Sanders?
Yep.
Again?
Okay. University of Alabama.
Good guy. The Big Ten is coming for the SEC's title. Out of the players that played in this Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54, the most belong to the Penn State Nittany Lions. The second most belong to the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Big Ten led the way with 17 players represented in this Super Bowl, tied with your beloved SEC. So get ready. Gather ye wins, as I used to say with the Illini, because the Big Ten is coming for you. And we had one Illini there, Nick Allegretti, Sky Point. So the Big Ten is coming for the crown of the best college football conference in the nation.
But yet, like,
you won that championship. Good job.
Right.
Ohio State's coming.
And would anyone?
Lovey's coming.
Like, now that you saw what Oklahoma was, did anyone really? Wouldn't we have been better off having just Alabama in there? Like, let's be real honest. Let's be real honest. No matter what they were ranked, and the fact that they lost the game to Auburn and they lost the game to LSU, wouldn't Alabama have been a better choice to be in the college football playoff than Oklahoma?
To get what? House by Clemson? No, was it
LSU? You run it back with LSU. And yeah, you don't have Tua for the game. But come on. What did he have? Five touchdowns at the half in the semifinal? What was the stat? He threw for more touchdowns in the Georgia Dome than Matt Ryan did this year. And that receiver, Justin Jefferson, caught more touchdown passes in the Georgia Dome than DeJulio Jones did this year. Wouldn't it have been better to just have Bama in there, even if Bama's going to lose, than watching Oklahoma get dragged across the field for 60 minutes? You can have your Big Ten moment, but we'll be back. Roll damn tide.
Will you, though?
We will be for two more years. And then I think things are going to get bad because I think Saban's going to go away. But then Georgia's really good. Auburn's really good. Florida has a chance to be good every year.
Mississippi has coaches.
Mississippi has really interesting coaches.
Stop it.
I didn't say they were good. I said they were interesting.
They're interesting. They're interesting, but not good. All right, Campy, real quick, what's something that you think you know about the NFL?
Since we've seen some of these teams that are trying to emulate more of the Chiefs mold, having some issues with that, whether it be quarterback or weapon-wise, I think more teams this offseason are going to go the 49ers route. Like, it's, you know, copycat league. Go more the Super Bowl loser. They'll be trying to emulate more than the Super Bowl winner because people will probably think that...
You don't have Patrick Mahomes, so yeah. You can't emulate what the Chiefs do.
Exactly. It's easier to emulate what the 49ers are doing, even though it's probably not going to work that well anyway. And then you'll get more bigger personnel on defense to try and combat all these running games. And the Chiefs are just going to run right by them anyway, so the real Chiefs are probably still going to be just fine.
That's what we think we know about the NFL. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Remaining home opponents include Illinois, Michigan, and Minnesota. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Back after this on The Score. Someone texted it. If you count Namath's interceptions, his completion percentage is 85%. That's outstanding. That's good math. I appreciate your contribution to the show. This texter says, running the ball with a great defense worked for San Francisco this year, the Rams and Pats last year. Maybe it could work for the Bears. Never mind. We already went through some of that stuff. I just booked a trip to Arizona. I'm going to go watch some Cactus League baseball at the end of the month. I'm kind of excited about it, too. We haven't done a lot of White Sox since I got back because, obviously, the Super Bowl is going on. And the Cubs are balling on a budget. Like, they're trying to make things work. But, Herbie, let's do some baseball tomorrow. I'm in the mood. I'm not totally turning over things. Like, I'm not like, oh, thank God football's over so we can do some baseball. But I'm in the mood to do a little bit of baseball. So let's try and do some baseball tomorrow. I'll talk about the White Sox and that horrible decision with that cap that they're using. They're not going to use that for spring training, are they? Or is that just the hitting camp cap? Because I went and looked at it during the break when you told me. It doesn't look great. Both those logos are iconic. You can leave the SOX alone. You can leave the Hitman alone on the cap, and we're good.
Just put the old English SOX on the Hitman shoulder. A little smaller version. Looks smooth.
That's all you have to do. You don't have to go crazy with it.
Don't put a pizza on the cap either.
Yeah, the pizza, the deep dish pizza on both of those, especially since tavern style started on the south side, it's a bad choice. I'll talk McNeil and Parkins coming up next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.